Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry with Bahamas and USA.
Welcome back in, hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic are with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to be joined by Trey Wallace from Outkick.com coming up at 7:30. We'll get his thoughts on all things SEC hoops. Look ahead to Tennessee's matchup tonight against Missouri as well. All that coming up later this hour. And as always, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, we've talked a lot about Ryan Tannehill and this Titans offense this offseason. One thing that I am going to be fascinated to see what happens is, what does Derrick Henry look like as he moves forward here? And can he get back to being the Derrick Henry that we saw this past season before the injury? My question to you is this: based on the injury and the usage that he had before the injury and everything that surrounded that, do you think the injury changes the way the Titans use Derrick Henry as they move forward here? He carried the ball 219 times in 8 games. That's a little bit more than 27 per game in terms of the carries that he had. He had 20 carries in the playoff game as well, coming off the broken foot. In your mind, should it change the way they use Derrick Henry moving forward? Do you think it will change the way they use Derrick Henry as they move forward here?
Yeah, I think there's got to be some kind of a change there. First of all, some of the answer is, okay, who's with him back there? Because,
yep.
I mean, look, most teams, this is part of why most teams do this. I mean, most teams like to have two backs they can count on. Now, there's several other teams that have one primary back who's by far the best back on the team and someone you want to get the ball as much as possible. I mean, Dalvin Cook and Christian McCaffrey and Alvin Kamara, there's backs like that in the league, but he's had so much work. And you could always look at his injury and say, hey, that could happen carry one of your career. You know, that could happen on carry 10, could happen on carry 1,000. But logically, all the work he's had, and then you have that injury, I mean, you have to think that there's a possibility that, you know, pounding the foot over and over again made it more likely for him to be hurt. And now that he's had the injury, you want to preserve him. You want all the greatness of Derrick Henry and the home run threat. And, yeah, you want to be able to batter defenses in the fourth quarter with him, of course. I mean, it's one of many things he does that are hugely helpful to this team. But I have to think that Mike Vrabel may never acknowledge it, you know. Or I mean, he's been asked workload questions 1,000 times. And, you know, he's pretty much non-committal on that, you know. I mean, they're just like, you know, basically just sort of trying to figure out what we're going to do with the football. I mean, you know, it's just non-committal answers. But I think we're going to see it. I think the actions will tell the story. And I think we're going to see, even if he's 100% healthy, even if he's as great as ever next year, and even if they are really dependent on that to win football games, I still think that we're going to see a more concerted effort to cut the workload a bit.
See, this is a difficult one for me to answer, because I think prior to the injury, there was no sign whatsoever that the workload was affecting him. I mean, it just kind of felt like he kept getting stronger and stronger, not only with each game, but with each year that he had been in the league. I mean, think about before he hurt his foot this year, he was on pace to probably break the all-time NFL rushing record in a season. So, you know, he was playing really well, you know, 937 yards in eight games, all these different things. The injury's tough because, to your point, could it have been from, you know, repeatedly pounding the foot over and over and over again? Maybe. You know, is it from wear and tear the previous years before and it finally just caught up with him? Maybe. Is it the turf in Indianapolis that the Titans fans have pointed to? Maybe. I don't know exactly what caused Derrick Henry's foot to break and for him to be hurt that way. I just know that it made me kind of view it differently after of, okay, well, do you have to adjust if you're the Titans as you move forward here? Now, I'll say today what I said last year as well, because we had the workload conversation before the season even began last year, and we talked about, well, if you're the Titans, do you think about reducing that a little bit? And I'll say the same thing now as I say then. I think it's great to have a plan to do that. I think that's something that the Titans should absolutely look into. I also recognize that if he's back to being fully healthy and he is just terrorizing defenses the way that we know that he can, it's difficult in the moment if you're Vrabel or if you're Todd Downing or if you're whoever to just say, you know what? We know he is just wearing this defense out, but we're going to pull the plug on it. We're going to give Darrington Evans or Deontay Foreman or whoever a series here when Derek is just trucking right along. So I think it's great to have a plan. I think the Titans would be wise to move into it. I will say this, if Derrick Henry looks like Derrick Henry next year, I think it's going to be pretty difficult in real time to make sure that happens. That's what we saw last year, I think.
Well, yeah, I agree, but I think in some games, you know, he's going to be rolling, and it's like, well, you either go to him, who's your best player and the one guy the other team does not want to see, or, you know, you're jeopardizing a win here in a close game, and the NFL is full of close games. So I agree on a week-by-week basis there's going to be times, but I still would wager that even if Derrick Henry was peak Derrick Henry next year, that the overall number would be lower on average with some – because, look, this year, I mean, they had abandoned any, like, give anybody else a series, you know? Yep. There wasn't anyone. I mean, Darrington Evans gets hurt again. And, you know, they make Nichols out there, and he's your third down guy, but they didn't have a Deontay Foreman option or anyone else, you know, until he got hurt and they had to look around for other people. So I just feel like whoever it is, there's going to be someone else on this roster who they intend going in to give some series. And I think that's a good idea early in games. So that when Derrick Henry has a 12 to 14 carry fourth quarter, you know, then that puts him at 25, not at 35 or whatever it is.
I think. Well, and to that point, I mean, if had he stayed healthy this past year, what would he have ended up with? 430 carries, 445 carries? Like, you don't know how exactly it would have played out. I mean, that just doesn't. I mean, nobody approaches that in today's NFL. Like, it would have been insane the amount of carries he had. So
yeah, he was on pace to break the record.
Yeah, like I think they would be wise to bring that down anyway. I know how tempting it could be when he's rolling. But that's the other thing. Like, we don't know for sure what he's going to look like next year. I think he's going to be fine. I mean, the injury is healed at this point, so I think he's going to look like Derrick Henry again. But we've seen this before in terms of sometimes with running backs, it's one injury and they're never quite the same again. I don't expect that to happen with Derrick Henry. But, I mean, you have to at least leave that open to being a possibility heading into next year, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. No question. Yeah, I mean, you know, you're going through the whole offseason. You got stuff in the spring, and you can see people. I mean, I'm sure, like, all indications are going to be, right, it's Derrick Henry, just like all indications were that it was Derrick Henry, you know, in the couple weeks of practice before the playoff game. I thought in the playoff game there were a few tentative moments that have anything to do with the injury or just have to do with rust, or was that just a misread on my part and, you know, something that looked like it was a lane from, like, the press box or watching the tape over wasn't really, you know, I don't know. But I thought a couple times out there he looked a little bit less decisive than normal. But that's the one game back. So then after a training camp and everything, of course, there's always a chance for a setback. But barring a setback, I'm sure you're going to have to find out when the real football starts getting played. But yeah, he was on pace for he was on pace for about 475 last year when he went down. So by my math.
Yeah. Call your shot Tuesday. He will have fewer than 475 carries next year. I'm throwing that out there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously he had 378 in 2020 in a 16 game season. So if it were a 16 game season last year, he was on pace in a 16 game season to be at 438. So he was on pace for 60 more carries in the same amount of work. So that it's just. He won't be on that pace again the rest of his career. I feel confident in saying that.
We'll take your thoughts on Derrick Henry on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Do you think the Titans should change how they use Derrick Henry as they move forward here? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The 2022 Navy Federal Credit Union NHL Stadium Series is coming to Nissan Stadium this Saturday. The outdoor game has the Preds taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning and will also feature performances by Miranda Lambert and Dierks Bentley as well. It's going to be a party, and Preds fans, you're not going to want to miss it. Visit NHL.com/Stadium Series for more details and to purchase tickets as well. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Trey Wallace from Outkick.com coming up in about 15 minutes at 7:30. Let's go to the text line. Got a texture that says, I think Derrick Henry's injury is going to affect him the same way that Eddie George's foot injury affected him. I don't think Derrick Henry will be the same after the injury. Foot injuries for running backs are a big deal, especially when a 250-pound running back is involved. What do you think of that? Maybe Derrick Henry's size works against him in this argument.
Well, it's certainly possible. Certainly possible. There have been people, and big people in the NFL, who have had this injury and have come back from it and been okay. Now, but I agree that running back is a little bit different. I mean, you're running and you're cutting at any position, but this offense in particular, it's a cutback offense. I mean, it's a cutback running style, finding cutback lanes in the outside zone scheme. And so that's a lot of sticking your foot in the ground, right, and cutting hard. So it is possible that this is going to affect him, or this is going to diminish him to some extent from here. I think there's a good chance it doesn't, and a decent chance that it does.
Well, to that point of bigger guys coming back from this injury, DeMarcus Lawrence of the Cowboys. He had basically the same injury.
Yep.
He's 6'3", 265, and he came back and he looked fine. Now, again, that's a defensive end. You're talking about a running back here. Not to say that defensive end you don't plant and cut and all those things, because you do.
You have to, but it is different with a running back. Explode off the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. It's you got to do all those things.
Yeah.
It's a little different. But a running back is just, it's that's your livelihood. It's cutting and running and planting your foot in the ground and stiff arming, all these different things. And it could affect. Now, having said all that, I think the medical people that the Titans have talked to, and they've been pretty open with about this, they feel like he's going to be fine as they move forward here. So there's no reason for me to think that Derrick Henry is not going to be fine until I see him not be fine. That's basically what I've learned about Derrick Henry. Like, he's pretty different.
Yeah. I mean, like if I had to bet right now, I'd bet that he would have a very good season next year and look a lot like Derrick Henry and, be around 1,500 yards, something like that, which is a heck of a season, which is a huge season by any standard in the NFL. But I certainly am open to the possibility. I think you have to be realistic that something like this at that position, 6'3", 250, it affects, everybody's affected differently. And even though Derrick Henry has been a tremendous healer and a guy who just has been very durable, has not had injuries, has not had much soft tissue stuff. And even when he did, when he had the hamstring, he takes a week off and he comes out and goes on one of the best three-game runs in NFL history. It's yep. still different than a bone. I just don't – I mean, you know, that doesn't necessarily apply to your bones.
Andrew from the Borough texting in says, you can't compare injuries from 10 or 20 years ago. With technology advances, the way injuries are treated and overcome are way better in today's times. Cam Akers came back from an Achilles tear in 6 months. This is coming from Andrew from the Borough. I don't think there's any question. I mean,
that was
the
insane.
Eddie George comparison, it is different from when Eddie George was playing.
Yes, everything. Agree. And we've talked a lot about the ACL thing. The ACL injury used to be basically your career's over, and now even – well, Lyman. I mean, Taylor Lewan's like, yeah, he's going to be ready for the opener, right? I mean, Taylor Lewan, a left tackle, a 300-pound-plus guy, gets that injury 20 years ago, and it's like, man, hopefully he can be some level of player like he was. I mean, again, my favorite player as a kid has an ACL, and he's done. Billy Sims just done 5 years into his career. Well, this is the mid-'80s.
Yeah, well, I think the thing to keep in mind with all that, though, is yes, technology is better. Yes, medical advancements are better. People's bodies still heal differently.
Right.
Like Taylor Lewan gets an ACL. He's back out there for the first game. You know, he didn't play well, but he was back out there and able to play. You know, David Bakhtiari tore his ACL last year at left tackle as well. He didn't play the whole year. I mean, he was in one game in Detroit, and then he couldn't play in the playoff game. And he still may not be right. So, you know, different injuries affect people differently.
Right. And there's still players who get injured and their career is over or their career is altered forever. So that still happens. Yes, you got to feel good about Derrick Henry just in terms of just being a physical specimen, someone who's going to do every little thing, you know, turn over every rock and rehab and right, all those things. But it's a bone. It's a bone and a running back who pounds those feet.
Adam in Portland on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I'm unsure about many things in life. Have alien abductions really happened? Does corn offer any health benefits? Does whiskey really help with colds? The one thing I do know for sure is that the more Derrick Henry gives my boys a shot to win, you keep feeding the man, all of our hopes and dreams lie with Derrick Henry.
That's beautiful. But what's up with the corn shot? You don't think corn has health benefits?
There's a debate back and forth on that, Rex.
Well, you don't actually digest it.
See, we're about to get into that debate right here.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm just telling you.
I'll just study up on my own, okay? I can't have this conversation right now.
Why not?
But it's interesting. That brings a new thing to me. I've always thought when I crush multiple corn on the cobs that I was doing by myself.
Just put it with black licorice and maybe it offsets.
But whiskey definitely helps a cold.
Oh, yeah. Ray from Clarksville texting in says, I think Henry looked great against the Bengals. That was his only game after the foot injury. Henry looked like Henry, and I think the offseason will help him get stronger and be ready for next season. This coming from Ray in Clarksville. I will say, we're probably not that far away from like Derrick Henry workout videos of him, you know, on a side of a wall somewhere with a chain on top of him, bench pressing a car. It's probably coming around pretty soon.
Yep, man, that's right. No doubt about it. Although, gosh, you'd hope, like, just rest a little bit, you know. I guess those are more summerish, right? Spring, summer?
Yeah.
With him. So hopefully he takes a little downtime.
Pushing the tire up the hill.
Right.
Yeah. James from Clarksville texting in says, I had the same injury, and to this day when I play sports, it's getting past the mental aspect more than the physical part of it. This is coming from James in Clarksville. There is that. Now, I will say, just based on the videos that came out of Titans practice leading up to the Bengals game, it didn't look like Derrick Henry was all that concerned about his foot. Now, there is something different about going out there in a game. And to your point, maybe it is a process of, you know, him trusting the foot again and him knowing that in a game situation, he's able to plant and cut and do whatever he wants. But that's no question. I think that's a factor. And the mental side of injuries as well.
Yeah, and when it's in there at all, that's where you could injure something else. If there's any favoring or just doing anything different than you did before you had the injury, now something else could suffer for it.
Jordan texting in says, I'll be cautious with Derrick Henry until I see his first 50-plus yard run. So until Jordan sees him break off a 50-yarder, he'll be cautious with Derrick Henry. I mean, that could be the third carry of the season next year. You never know.
Yeah, but and I hear what you're saying. I mean, it's like does he still have the home? You know, does he still have all of it? Does he still have the home run ability? The thing is, even if he'd never been hurt, I mean, these things go fast for running backs, right? I mean, not all of them. And Derrick Henry, if there's anybody who's going to defy the trend of running backs who quickly diminish in this league, I mean, he's a great candidate for that, but. But even if he didn't get hurt, you know, it could be still a pretty short period ahead where you're going to have peak Derrick Henry.
Ben texting in says, you don't digest the shell, but you do get the nutrients from inside when it comes to corn, although it is starch, so there are better things for you. This is coming from Ben on the text line.
Okay, that's fair. Hey,
that's you're going to believe Ben?
Well, I mean, it sounded smart. I don't know. I'll check that analysis against Google.
5 minutes ago, Joe's like, I can't get into this. I'll do the research on my own. Then he's like, okay, yeah, that works. I believe you.
Well, Ben came with a nice, concise explanation.
Michelle came off the top rope there. Yeah.
Mine was a good explanation.
Well, but he continued along that. Do you disagree with him? Do you have a problem with that?
To be honest, I was tweeting out on the account, so I didn't fully hear.
So you didn't even listen to him. My God.
Jeez. Just coming after it.
Just wanted to yell.
I got a texter that says, our running style comes into the equation. Also, we are a red zone read offense. Cutback is kind of a big deal. And an Achilles is different from a bone. He has a plate and screws in his foot as he's coming back from injury this time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, like the Achilles thing with Cam Akers is unbelievable. And there's been a couple others recently. But, you know, think about, like, RG3. How long ago was that? 10 years ago? I mean, I know there were other factors there, but you know, he hurts his knee, and yes, he tries to plan, you know, they made some mistakes around that, but like he was never at all the same.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll be joined by our friend Trey Wallace from Outkick.com. We'll get his thoughts on all things SEC basketball. Look ahead to Tennessee, Missouri, Vanderbilt, and Alabama as well. All that coming up on the other side. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie Stanley. It's my show now, Joe. Get out of here.
The Robbie Stanley Show.
The Robbie Stanley Show.
With Joe friends. Rexford makes appearances and friends.
Every now and then. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Trey Wallace from Outkick.com. Trey, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. Hope everybody's doing well in the mid-state.
Well, we appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, Trey. So I want to start on the Tennessee front. Obviously a tough loss. Really a tough watch against Arkansas with the offensive fouls in that game. Where do you think this Vols team is right now? What's your confidence level that they could have the ingredients to maybe make a deep run come tournament time?
You know, I think the biggest thing in going back and looking at last week, if you'd ask Tennessee fans, okay, would you be okay with a split between Kentucky and Arkansas? I think a majority of them would have said yes. You know, you go on the road and you play an Arkansas team where it's always hard to win a Bud Walton Arena, and I think we can agree on that. I look at the way the officiating went down. I think it was a bit overblown a little bit when it comes to how many times the referees decided to call charge fouls. Really took the rhythm out of the basketball game, especially with teams like Arkansas and Tennessee. You get up and down the court. So when you look at it, you know, this is kind of what happens with Tennessee. You know, they can go on these shooting slumps during these games for 3 to 4 minutes and completely take themselves out of games, or, you know, they lock down on defense and somehow stay within it and, you know, and fight towards the end. And, you know, I just think right now with Tennessee, you know, I thought they had found their way after Olivier Cumwa went down with an injury. And you look at the way that they're playing right now, and they're kind of shuffling in. You know, they're either playing a three-guard set you know, when they're shuffling in Euros and you know, playing Josiah James at times as well. I think that, you know, long term, this team is more viable when you might have somebody like Jonas Adu on the court compared to a Euroflotics on the court. So that's where it comes to interesting to me is if they change things up or if they try to get more minutes coming right out of the first TV break or right out of that first substitution break, you know, and what that rotation looks like. Because you've got to be able to have a rim protector around there right now. And if you're not getting that from Euros, who's in the starting lineup, then they got to figure out something different. Because, man, you know, honestly, you have too many good guards on this team. Because of the way Ziegler is playing right now with Chandler and Vescovi and the way that they feed off each other, especially on defense and then especially in transition with the way they play, you know, it's almost like you're wasting a good opportunity when you've got all three on the court at the same time, or at least Chandler and Ziegler on the court at the same time, by not being able to flow through the paint. And you guys know that. I mean, they have a game tonight against Missouri. But then they've got Auburn coming to town on Saturday. And if they can't figure out a way to get something going in the paint, it's going to be a long day with Walker Kessler on Saturday. And, you know, this is the type of team Tennessee is right now. They're fun and exciting to watch at times. But then, man, they have these shooting slumps and offensive woes that really throw things off, Rob.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like Saturday was, along with just another day of me saying, my gosh, Kyle Giraffe, stop falling for every flop. But that's a broken record. But along with that, I thought that was the first day that Tennessee missed Kamwa. You know, it was, you could, like, he may have made a difference. I thought the guys really did a great job of compensating and stepping up in the games before that. And Adu, top of the list. But I thought they missed him. And the thing, and I agree with you, I mean, rim protection, I think he's going to give them that. Do they have, you know, do they get to the point where, you know, they can just throw the ball down there to somebody when they're having a bad shooting night or a bad shooting stretch and get to the line, you know, get a nice inside-out pass for a shot, get a bucket right in there. That's, and then who is that? Because obviously Fulkerson in some matchups is a nice face-up little score in there, but it's, you know that some nights that's not going to be it. So maybe it is Adu. Do you think Adu on that end of the floor has more game than we've, I think we see some skill too, but like, do you think he could be a guy who could do some of that in the weeks ahead?
Well, the biggest thing, Joe, to me is you're not getting that from Euros. And I kind of understand why he's in the starting lineup. You know, it starts off the game with a bit of aggression. You know, he can, you know, rebound down low, and that's fine. If you're going to play that game through it, and you know what, he's a little bit more experienced, I guess, per se, when it comes to running what type of offense Rick Barnes wants to run. But when it comes down to it, you know, we're getting close to SEC tournament time. You know, you lose a game, you're done. NCAA tournament time, we all know you lose a game, you're done. So, you know, at some point over the next four SEC regular season games, you've got to figure out what you're rolling with down at Tampa, and then in the NCAA tournament. And if that means that you've got to get Jonas more playing time in the place of Euros, then that's something that, you know, Rick Barnes is smart enough, Mike Schwartz is smart enough. They know what they see on the court. You know, one of the biggest problems, too, I look at with Tennessee basketball is whenever their post players get the ball, they immediately bring it down. They're putting it on the court. They're not going up. And I think that's something that, it drives fans crazy when they look at it because they do have some size down low, but they're not using it to their advantage. So I think when it comes to Tennessee and how this is going to play out over the next couple weeks is, you know, you got to hope Santiago Vescovi goes for 18, and you got to hope Triple J is able to get the basket and can get in double-figure scoring because right now I don't, you know, and Rex Rhoda, I don't know if you agree with this or not, but I don't trust Tennessee's bigs right now at all. Yeah. And you would hope that you'd be able to trust Fulkerson, but it's so sporadic, you know, his rotation into the game or how long he's into the game that it relies on the other bigs and they're just not getting it from them. That's why I think you maybe need to give Jonas another hard look here and see if you can get him more minutes.
Trey Wallace from Outkick.com on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Trey, what do you think of this Kentucky team? Obviously, they're going through an injury spell right now and a tough loss to Tennessee last week, but their chances as they move forward here, once Ty Washington is healthy again, could this be the best shot that Cal has had to make a deep run in the tournament in at least the last 5-6 years?
I mean, I do. You got to get Ty Washington healthy. You got to get Wheeler healthy. The way that they feed the ball through Oscar Tshiebwe, down to the paint, or even not even down to the paint, the kid can knock down 15, 18 footers. But I do. I look at Kentucky's lineup from top to bottom, and I see that they have promise. I see that they can play on offense and be explosive and hit shots from, you know, behind the arc with Brooks even. So, you know, this is what Calipari hoped he would get out of this team. Problem is you run into a little bit of an injury bug down the stretch right here, and you got to figure out the right time of when Washington and Wheeler need to play. Like, if they can get through and they can get that top four seed, I don't know, you know, are you going to risk, you know, Ty's health when it comes to the NCAA tournament? So it'll be interesting to see how he plays this thing out over the next week and a half. But I really like Kentucky, and I think Oscar deserves to be, you know, if he can keep this up, which I know he's going to, if he can keep this up, you know, it's player of the year type of numbers that he's put up this year. And the way, look, I mean, he had 13 points, but he had 19 rebounds. So it's interesting to watch how Kentucky kind of plays through that, and then they're able to hit the long ball as well. So, you know, they finally figure things out in Lexington on how they need to play defense to go along with the offensive production that they have. So this could be a nice little run for Kentucky if they can stay healthy.
Yeah, well, I think Kentucky can win it. I think Auburn can win it, although I worry sometimes about those guards hero balling them out in the second round against an eight, but we'll see. But let Jabari Smith shoot the ball. They're going to be fine. But what about Tennessee, Trey? I mean, I feel like when you're so reliant on outside shots, that's a concern, right? But there have been teams that have made runs by hitting outside shots, and because they have enough shooters, and they do the defense travels. The defense is pretty consistent. What do you think is the ceiling for this team, and how important is the seeding situation right now, you know, for them to be a three, maybe a two, but a three instead of a four?
I think the biggest thing right now for Tennessee is, you know, you got to take care of business when it comes to this week. I don't see them beating Auburn just because of how good Jabari Smith and Walker Kessler are. But you finish off the season, get a win against Arkansas. You know, you play Georgia next week. You know, wrap up the season strong. Get down to the SEC tournament with that double bye. You know, and then you try to figure out your seeding. Are you on the three line or the four line? You know, this Tennessee team, we've all seen them. And if they can get hot from behind the perimeter, then it's a hard team to beat. Even inside, if Triple J, you know, can go for 15, 16 points and be able to lead on, you know, Chandler or Ziegler or Vescovi, because we know Vescovi's going to try to get his any day tonight. But the biggest thing to me when it comes to tournament-wise is, you know, and what scares me about Tennessee is if you come out and just shoot 20% from three-point range and you're shooting 37% from the field, and then all of a sudden, you know, that lockdown defense, you know, gets beat and you're out of the tournament on the second day. Like, that's what's – because this is about – look, here, this is a basketball team that can make an Elite Eight but can also be out the first weekend because of how much they rely on that outside shooting and how much they don't have that post presence right now to bail them out in certain situations. I mean, I love the guard combos that we get out of Rick Barnes' squad, but it also, I go back again to the inside, the presence and the paint, is if you're not getting anything and you're only getting rebounds and you're not getting points and you're missing baskets at the rim, that's going to come back to bite Tennessee in the rear end. So, you know, overall, this can be an Elite Eight basketball team, and who knows what happens after that. But, again, come out and shoot 16 to 20% from 3-point range, and you'll be back in Knoxville, you know, right after the first weekend begins.
Hey, last thing for you here. What did you think of the Juwan Howard incident and the response that followed with the 5-game suspension and $40,000 fine?
I thought it was wild. Credit to CBS director in the truck for just, you know, staying with it and not fading out once the music was playing. Yes. That was fantastic. I look at it, and I understand that Wisconsin's coach wanted to talk with Juwan about why he did it. I get that part of it. I didn't understand why Juwan Howard would pop off at an assistant coach who kind of walked into the frame, unless that guy said something. We can't have that. But I've seen a lot of discussion on, oh, let's stop handshake lines and all that. No, we don't need to do that. This is college basketball. Some teams, you know, they throw the hand up and say thank you. I've seen Stackhouse, I've seen Calipari, I've seen Barnes do that this year. And that's fine if you want to do it that way. These guys see each other before the games. They talk, you know, they talk after the games in the hallways. But when you have something like that, where you got a full-on scrum that breaks out, you got a Wisconsin player who runs in, he throws a haymaker, and then runs right back off to his bench, you know, I just, there's no room for that in college basketball. And I know it garners headlines, and I know it's great talking points, but looking at it overall from a standpoint, you just can't have a person of the stature of Howard, you know, as a head coach at a major university, be throwing any kind of hands. I don't care if it's a brush to the face, anything. Don't put your hands on another guy, you know, in a handshake line anywhere, because you're getting yourself into trouble. And it's the same thing too. Not, you didn't hit anybody, but it's the same kind of outburst that we saw with Juwan Howard against Maryland in the 2021 Big Ten basketball tournament, where he got ejected from that team. So I just think, Juwan, sometimes it boils up in him a little bit, and maybe he feels like he's still out there playing, but you have to be a better representative of the university, in a sense, in that manner, and you can't put your basketball team in a situation where now they don't have their head coach for the rest of the regular season, and you look at this thing from afar, and it's also a PR thing as well. So, you know, I agree with the suspension. I agree with the $40,000 fine. I just feel like, you know, we got to, if they're going to have handshake lines, man, just figure out how to do it the right way and not have it all over CBS and national news 2 days later.
Trey Wallace from Outkick.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Trey, great stuff as always, brother. Appreciate you taking time to be with us.
Guys, thanks for having me. Have a wonderful week. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Trey.
Absolutely. Trey Wallace, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. We'll come back. We'll react to what Trey had to say there. Look ahead to Tennessee and Missouri tonight as well. All that on the other side. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to be joined by Gentry Estes from the Tennessean coming up to begin the 8 o'clock hour. Looking forward to that conversation with him. Sean Rort from NHL.com at 9 o'clock. Chris Mason at 9:30 as well. Interesting game tonight for Tennessee against Missouri. You're coming off a tough loss against Arkansas. You've got a massive game coming up later this week against Auburn. Do you worry at all if you're Rick Barnes about maybe looking too far ahead in this one if you're Tennessee?
Maybe. I mean, Auburn is a big one. It's a big one. It's big, you know, beyond this team. Like, it's big for Rick Barnes to at some point have a good day against Bruce Pearl.
Yeah.
Not many of those, you know, since he has been the Tennessee coach. Yeah. So, But as far as this team, you know, they are coming off a loss, so figure they want to bounce back from that. You know, it's interesting because it's too bad for Tennessee because Auburn losing at Florida Saturday opened the door to they could be playing Auburn this Saturday for a share of the lead and, you know, a chance to hang a banner for another SEC championship. And the Arkansas loss ended that. I mean, now – you know, there's a two game gap in the loss column, so probably not going to happen. But that would be a huge win for Tennessee. To me, if you beat Auburn, you can start to look at the two line. You know, the NCAA said officially Tennessee's number 11 in the pecking order. You got to get to number 8 to be on the two line. I think the two line, the three line, there's a bigger difference between the three and the four. So solidify yourself as a three. But, of course, if you lose to Missouri and beat Auburn, then you're just treading water. So
got
to take care of this first. Missouri is, Kobe Smith is a really good player. Kobe Brown. What am I talking about? Kobe Brown's a really good player for Missouri. And really tough matchup for Tennessee because he's so physical. But apart from that, you know, they're a pretty limited offensive team, and this is probably going to be another rock fight kind of game, if I had to guess. Konzo Martin's team plays locks down on D, and that's probably what we're going to see tonight.
Well, and, you know, part of that is can Tennessee shoot the ball better? I mean, you talked about it yesterday. The combination of Vescovy, Chandler, and James in the last game, I mean, it's hard for me to believe they're going to shoot that bad again heading into this game tonight. So you feel better about maybe them responding there. But I think Trey put it well. I mean, this team, I think with the way they play the game, they could make a run in the tournament and get to the Elite Eight, or they could get put out the first weekend. I think he put that really well with how they shoot the ball. And that still, to me, is the most concerning part. I said it yesterday. Like, it's difficult for me to trust Tennessee heading into the tournament based on how all over the place they are shooting the ball.
Yeah, and the way to make yourself more reliable is to get to the basket. One, you know, Chandler and Ziegler can both get there. I mean, they can get where they want to get, but, you know, they're also guys who can have their shots blocked. I'd always like to see Josiah James do a little posting, do a little driving, not just shoot threes, but then is there a big who can actually give you some inside-out play? Fulkerson at times, but again, it's sort of matchup dependent. I just don't know what they do. I think it's worth exploring and seeing if they can get him more minutes and more confidence and see if maybe he can be a guy, because he doesn't have a bad-looking shot. You know, he has some skill. I think all in all, he's got the looks of a potentially dynamite player here. Moving forward, the question is, you know, how much ground can he make up here in the near future? That could be a huge key. Because I agree, like, Plavsic gives you like, when they play Auburn, Plavsic will be nice to have against Kessler for stretches just because he has the length and the size. But I've been underwhelmed. Plavsic is just basically, to me, afraid to shoot. Does not look much to do that, and they could explore that a little bit too. I mean, I'd like to see him be more aggressive offensively, because that's the key. And then you get better shots, and your outside shots are better if you actually are making people react at the rim.
And then on West End tonight, Vanderbilt hosting Alabama. Another one of those nice 8 o'clock starts for you tonight, Rex Rowe, with Vanderbilt hosting Alabama. What do you think of the matchup for Vanderbilt, and what sort of a chance do you give the Commodores in this game against a Nate Oates coach team where when they're on, boy, are they on, and when they're off, it can be rough?
Yeah, like, you hate to say it doesn't matter how you play against Alabama, you know, because it does. I mean, you want to contest those shots, you know. You want to, because, you know, he doesn't just love shooting threes. It's just that he hates the mid-range game. You know, he wants to get to the rim, and he wants to shoot threes. But, you know, if they're red hot tonight, I mean, like, they can beat anybody. And I think one big key, obviously, is, I mean, Javon Quinterly can get wherever he wants to get. He's as good getting to the rim as anybody in the league. So Vanderbilt has to do a better, you know, has to do a good job there. Rodney Chapman's going to be missed. But he was missed. He's been missed, and they've been able to win some games without him and even play pretty well at Auburn. So huge opportunity for Vanderbilt. I mean, this would be, you know, another one of the best wins for Jerry Stackhouse if they can get it. And they have not lost at home since the students have been back. And I'm not saying they've got, you know, Cameron Indoor West going on there, but there is an improved environment, obviously, since the students have been back in. They've got a little bit of a home court advantage now, and it matters. So big opportunity for them.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Gentry Estes from the Tennessean. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and the decisions they've got to make coming up this offseason. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.